You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. On today's show, I'm going to talk about Michael Conforto and his outstanding season. I'll go through the numbers in the first half of the pod. Then later on, I want to talk about a potential extension for Conforto. Is that something that Steve Cohen will address this offseason? Before we get to any of that, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMerizedOnline.com. And as you're listening to this on Wednesday, I just published an article published on Mets Merize where I gave my report card grade for Conforto's season, and it's an A. He was outstanding this year. Played in 54 of the 60 games, 9 home runs, 31 RBIs, and 233 plate appearances. Stole 3 bases, drew 24 walks, hit .322. Had a .412 on-base percentage, a .515 slugging percentage, a .927 OPS. You look at the advanced metrics, he had a .401 weighted on-base average. His weighted runs created plus was .157. His OPS plus was .156. He was worth a WAR of 2 at both Fangraphs and Baseball Reference. He had 1 defensive run saved, but was minus 5 and outs above average. Overall, you look at what Conforto did this year, and he was coming off a season in 2019 where he set career highs in pretty much every category. Doubles, runs, RBIs, hit 33 home runs, had the 92 RBIs. His slash line was just steady. A .257 batting average nowadays is pretty good. Back in the day, you would say, you know, .270 was kind of the number you liked out of a good hitter, and a great hitter is hitting over .300, and now .257, you know, .250 is kind of the new .270, and he hits .257, which is solid for him, and had the .363 on base percentage. Again, over .350, that's good. A slugging percentage of .500 is good. He's at .494. Just a very solid middle of the order starting right fielder. A guy who would be an all-star every other year. Just the prototypical starting right fielder that you really want to build around. But he took that, and in 2020, he brought it a step further to being a superstar, a guy who could garner MVP votes, although he tailed off a little bit down the stretch, a guy that can compete for Silver Sluggers. And this is the guy the Mets thought he was going to be back in 2015, where he skipped AAA, came right up to the big leagues, and helped the team make a push to win the division, and ultimately go to the World Series. Michael Conforto finally lived up to that. And if you look at the numbers, the biggest reason is he got out of the pull happy, trying to hit home runs, launch angle stuff, and just got back to the basis of being a damn good hitter. He carried a .341 batting average through his first 50 games played. Was right in the thick of it for a batting title. Why was that? You look, and his pull rate this year was 27.6. That is far less than the last couple of years, where his pull rate was over 40%. Opposite field, he hit that with 31.7% of the time. And even more impressive to me, up the middle, 40.7% of the time, he hit the ball straight. That is power to all fields, and that is hitting the ball where it's pitched. And you know that a hitter is locked in when they hit it right back up the middle. I mean, that's the thing where you're doing batting practice if you're in the cage, and if you're really locked in, you hit that line drive right back to the screen right in front of you. That's when you know a hitter is just squaring it up and hitting exactly where it's pitched. And for Conforto to be able to spread the ball like that, what it does is it makes the defense have to respect your ability to go to all fields. This year, that batting average, he took advantage of that with a .423 weighted on base average when they put the shift on him. He was getting a ton of hits that way. His batting average on balls put in play was .412. Part of that was hitting against the shift. And he also hit very well against left-handed pitching. But because he has eliminated those holes in his swing, now teams are going to have to really think about, do we want to throw that extra infielder on the other side and give Conforto a hole to just hit a ground ball and get on base? And if they do go back to a traditional defense, now Conforto can really key in on the inside pitch, hit that hard line drive or ground ball, and find more holes going that way. So I think all of this kind of opens up his game moving forward. If this scouting report continues next year that he's hitting to all fields, it just makes him a tougher player to defend against when you're talking about shifting. And overall, if he's hitting this way, he might not hit .320, but his ability to drive the baseball to all fields is going to help him get the extra base hits you want and get the RBIs you want. And I look at Michael Conforto right now at 27 years old, and he is a premier right fielder in the National League. And the only problem for him right now is there are a lot of really good right fielders. Mike Yastrzemski led all right fielders in the National League in his weighted runs created plus of 160, which is crazy because no one, or at least on the East Coast, not many are paying attention to San Francisco Giants baseball. But Mike Yastrzemski had a hell of a year. Behind him, Ronald Acuña Jr. had a 159 weighted runs created plus. Conforto is third at 157. Mookie Betts, who will probably win the Silver Slugger just based on name recognition. And he had a good year, don't get me wrong. He had 16 home runs. So don't get me wrong. He had a very good season, part of the best team in the National League. So he deserves it. But his weighted runs created plus was 149, 8 points lower than Michael Conforto's. That just kind of tells you the impact that Conforto was having and really just the success of his plate appearances. Again, because of all this talent, I don't think Conforto will win the Silver Slugger this year, but he's got a chance. He'll probably get some votes. And overall, I think he can build on this and continue to put up numbers and maybe get in that conversation moving forward. Obviously, you still have Betts, Acuña, Harper. There's a lot of good right fielders in the National League. Even Soto played a little bit of right field this year after being primarily left fielder for most of his career. So I don't know if he stays in right. I'm not sure where they're at with Adam Eaton on his contract. But the bottom line through all of it is Michael Conforto was the best player on the Mets this year outside of Jacob DeGrom. If you go based on war, DeGrom had a 2.6 war. Conforto was that even two. But no one else on the Mets got to two wins above replacement in a 60-game season. If you stretch that out over a full year, he's getting in the realm of being a six war player, which is a class that not many guys get to. There are your elite players that put up ridiculous wins above replacement each year. I don't know if Conforto is ever going to be a guy to get to an eight war, nine war type season. You need to be great at defense to do that. But what he has proven is he's a player I would build around. And that's why I think the Mets should go out and sign into a contract extension, which I am going to talk about in just a minute. Postmates is your personal delivery service for food, grocery delivery, whatever kind of delivery you need all year round. They're the largest on-demand network in the U.S. and offer delivery from all the restaurants, grocery and convenience stores, and traditional retailers you could possibly want or need. 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, Postmates will bring you what you need within the hour. No more trips to the store. Postmates will deliver anything to you. Download the app for iOS or Android for free, and then begin to browse local restaurants and businesses and track your delivery in real time. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use the code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. Before we talk about an extension with Michael Conforto, I just want to acknowledge Travis d'Arnaud, who put together an amazing playoff game for the Braves on Tuesday. He goes 3-for-3 with a walk in his first four at-bats, hits a three-run homer with the game tied to put the Braves up in the seventh inning. What a awful decision it was to cut d'Arnaud after just 10 at-bats in 2019. He ends up capitalizing on a change of scenery, goes to Tampa, has a great year, gets signed to an incredibly team-friendly, now looking back at it, two-year, $16 million contract with the Braves, and he's just going to torment them for the foreseeable future. Regardless, let's talk about someone who's still on the Mets. Anthony DiComo did an article about a Conforto extension on September 10th. He goes through and looks at some comps for players who are similar to Conforto that got extensions, noting that Conforto is 27 and has compiled a 16-career WAR. So here were his comps. Charlie Blackmon, 6 years, $108 million, plus eight in incentives and opt-outs after year 4 and 5, average AAV of $18 million. He had a career WAR of 16.2 at the time. DiComo noted that this was the contract most similar to Conforto, or the comp most similar. Blackmon's WAR in his final season before signing was 6.6, DiComo notes, which is fairly online with what Conforto just produced. Go to Justin Upton. He got 21.2 AAV over 5 years for $106 million. His career WAR was 33.9 at the time, so he had done a little bit more in his career, but I actually think that Conforto is a better player or will live up to that second contract more than Upton. You go to JD Martinez, and Martinez, kind of a DH only now, but signed a 5-year, $110 million deal. That was an average AAV of $22 million, had a career WAR of 15 at the time of signing. His WAR is probably hurt by the fact that he's not a defensive player at all, really, but he is a better offensive player, or at least he has been traditionally, than Michael Conforto. If Conforto is the guy he was this year, who knows, right? You go to Nick Castellanos, and I've mentioned this one, guy who signed last offseason, a 4-year, $64 million deal with an opt-out after year one. That'll be interesting. I doubt that he's going to exercise that with all the uncertainty in baseball right now between the pandemic and the CBA coming up after next season. Regardless, Castellanos got $16 million a year. So with that, you look at what that projects for Conforto, and DiComo basically says that a 5-year deal in the $20 to $22 million range basically is what you're looking at. Maybe 6 years, talking about $115 to $125. So if you look at that, I mean, I sign Conforto that in a heartbeat. The question is going to be, what does Conforto want? That's what he might be worth, but does Conforto want $150 million? Does he want that opportunity to play out another year? If he plays the way he did this year, hit the open market, and look for that Bryce Harper money, okay? I don't think he can do enough in a single season to get former MVP money like Harper got. But if you want to bet on yourself, Conforto should be sky high in confidence after what he did this year to go out, to hit 320, to hit 35 home runs, drive in over 100, put together an OPS in the high 900s, and put himself in a position to get paid. On the other hand, you look at Michael Conforto, and here's a guy who is a team leader. He speaks for them at the MLBPA. He is their representative. He is someone who is very informed with the MLBPA and what's going on with the upcoming CBA. And with that, is he motivated to wait for that collective bargaining agreement to be ratified, the new one, and then hit the open market and just roll the dice on that? Or does he want to get guaranteed money and security now before the shit hits the fan, essentially? Okay? That's going to be the decision for Conforto and Scott Boras. And I believe if you come to Conforto with a competitive offer this offseason, you say, Michael, we want you to be here. You're a building block for this franchise. I think he would be motivated to sign. And also, you bring Sandy Alderson into the room on that, the guy who drafted Conforto, the guy who promoted Conforto in 2015. That might help as well. So what does it look like? Maybe it is 5 years, $115 million. That would be $23 million a year, which I think is as good as Conforto could expect. I mean, that is a really nice base salary with what his career has been. But it also is a contract that I think Conforto can easily outperform. And so I think you could even throw in some incentives. And if he makes an all-star game or gets a silver slugger or wins a gold glove or takes his team to the playoffs, he could get a little more money on top of it, but it gives him that security, that ability to stay with the team that drafted him. And for the Mets, you get a cornerstone at a price that I think you can afford. I mean, he's not going to be a $30 million player. And as you now have a owner who has the money to go into the luxury tax when needed, I don't think having Conforto and DeGrom as the big contracts on your books for the foreseeable future hinders this franchise in any way. And I think it sends a message if Steve Cohen were to sign Conforto to the extension that this is not the same old Mets that let a homegrown talent like Zach Wheeler go in free agency and sign with a division rival to end up being an all-star level performer and someone who was worth the contract he got. This would be an opportunity for Steve Cohen to say, look, homegrown players that prove their worth will get extensions and will remain at the Mets moving forward. And I think what we're seeing in baseball is a lot of teams are signing their guys to extensions and signing them to extensions early. I would also explore Jeff McNeil, and he is further away from free agency at an advanced age. He's a guy who you can extend to a team-friendly deal. I think for this offseason, when there's a lot of things to address, Conforto should be made a priority. Retaining Marcus Stroman should be made a priority. And then, of course, some of the other expenditures are going to be required, whether it be Realmuto or another catcher. But the Mets have an opportunity now to change the narrative as a franchise with Steve Cohen. And I think this is the guy that you can really hold up and say, he's our leader. We want him here moving forward. We're going to start winning, and Michael Conforto is going to be a huge part of it. So I hope that's what happens this offseason. We will have to wait and see. On tomorrow's show, I'm going to talk about Steve Cohen and compare him to an owner in the NBA and what that could mean for the Mets as they transition into this new era of baseball. As always, thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play Podcast Locked on Mets.